Thank you for the leg. I was going to comment also, and Hebrews 4 says that the word is quicker and sharper than any two-edged sword. And when it stops affecting us as Christians, we got a real problem. So thank you, Troy. We love you and appreciate you a lot. Thank everybody for their sentiments in the passing of my mother-in-law. Thank you so much. We certainly will miss her. She was just a happy person. And so thank you all for that. And my wife whispered to me, she said, I thought you wasn't going to do a sermon on marriage. I said, no, I'm not. So I'm sort of leading up to it. I'm going to do a sermon on marriage. So this, I want to touch on this briefly. We're going to be in Ephesians. And if you noticed, if you've read this, first we are children to our parents, then parents to our children, then parents to our parents, then children to our children. And some of us may not go through this, but a lot of us do. And it talks, and it tells us how life cycles will affect us, if I can say it that way. And one day, this life is going to end for us. Genesis 1:27 says that God had created them male and female. And towards the end of the sermon, I want to touch on this. If I can say it this way, this institution of marriage is being attacked. And it's being attacked hard. People want to undermine this institution of marriage and do away with it. And I've selected some slides towards the end. I was very careful of the slides I selected. I want to be careful in what I say. But I want to present some things that's recently happened in the news and some things I've spoken to you back in 2015, I think. And basically a couple weeks ago, I had mentioned something about another thing we need to keep our eye out for. So we're going to be in Ephesians. If you'll turn to Ephesians chapter 1, I'll kind of review what we had talked about last time I was in Ephesians. I can get my clicker to cooperate. So basically, we went over the book, talked about, it was a prison epistle, who it might have been actually written to. There's nothing big about that, just to get the context of the book. Chapter 1 is very important. Chapter 1, verse 3, it says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. There's five places in the book of Ephesians where it's going to talk about the heavenly places, what we've been blessed with in Christ Jesus. And chapter 1, he talks about he chose us, God chose us in Christ Jesus in verse 4. Our adoption as sons is through Christ Jesus in verse 5. Grace is bestowed on us through Christ Jesus in verse 6. Redemption, our salvation is through Christ Jesus in verse 7. God's kindness towards us is purposed in Christ Jesus in verse 8. Summing up all things in Christ Jesus in verse 10. God has summed up all things in Christ Jesus. We've obtained an inheritance in Christ Jesus in verse 11. Our hope of that eternal salvation is in Christ Jesus. And we believe our conviction is in Christ Jesus. So within this spiritual sphere or this spiritual realm, we have these heavenly blessings. And they're not tangible. I can't touch them. I can touch this desk, I can touch this Bible, I can touch an individual, but these things are not tangible. But we can see them at work. We can see them at work in each and every one of us. We've seen them at work in Troy when he did the Lord's Supper. How it pricked his heart to talk about God sending his son and dying on a cross for his sins. That's when it becomes tangible to us. We can see our brethren loving one another, caring for one another, doing all these spiritual things that God has given us. So in verse 1, we receive those blessings. Then in chapter 1, verse 18, it says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceedingly greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. We often look at the Bible and we say the Bible goes from garden to garden. But actually, it's going from eternity to eternity. Have you ever thought about it in that way? God's in eternity. He's from eternity. And he's going to take us back to eternity. So it's from eternity to eternity. Ephesians chapter 2, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 3:10, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in the heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. So God has greatly enriched us with these things. And as Paul speaks to us, he's telling us, as individuals in the church, that God has given us a standard of life to live. And as he goes through, he's going to talk about that standard. We talked about a couple things in the first lesson concerning this. It says in chapter 2, verse 6, or let's start in verse 4, but God being rich in his mercy because of his great love which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ, so that in ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. And he says in verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. That's the power behind these blessings that God has given us. He created us for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we might walk in them. So as individuals, we're told we have things that God has blessed us with, things that people desire to look into and can't find it, but it's been revealed by God. And he goes on and he says in chapter 3, he says, in verse 9, and to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery which for ages has been hidden in God who created all things, so that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose which he carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and confidence and access through faith in him. And Paul says, therefore I ask you not to lose heart at my tribulations on your behalf, for they are your glory. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the height, and the depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses all knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. And so he has greatly enriched us. He has provided for us a way of life that has not been seen by the world since Christ came to this earth. And so he says in chapter 4, therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling in which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. For there is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, one Father of all who is over all and through all and in all. Chapter verse 25. Therefore, laying aside all falsehood, speak truth, each one of you with his neighbors, for we are members of one another. Be angry, and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. There is a righteous anger, and we can be angry, but it cannot lead us to sin. So he says, you can be angry, but do not sin. And don't let the sun go down on your anger. Don't dwell on anger. And do not give the devil an opportunity. We're going to talk a little bit about the devil in this lesson. I mentioned in the last lesson, if you don't believe in the devil, you cannot believe in God. Because God says there is a devil in his word. And while the world paints a picture of this pitchfork and this being with a long tail, that's not the devil at all. You see, the devil is not a tangible thing also. We can't see him. But as James says, he roams about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And he goes on, he says, don't let it, verse 29, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but such a word that is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God and Christ also has forgiven you. Sometimes, brethren, that can be a challenge for us. Forgiving, being tender-hearted towards our brethren. Why is that? Because we lose sight of the power that God has given us to fight these kind of things. We lose sight of that and we go back to the old man. You know, Troy, I was told growing up that real men don't cry. And that's such a sad thing to be told that. But real men do cry. Real men do have feelings. And real men can cry. And real men can repent. And real men can be forgiven. We just have to own up to it. So he talks to Christians and he says, you've been empowered with these things from Christ. Everything that's in Christ has been given to us. Then he goes on in chapter 5 and he's going to talk about wives. Wives, verse 22, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of this body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their own husbands and everything. We've heard sermons on how shows on television demeanor a man. He's stupid, he's dumb, and the woman is so far above the man. And that's not true at all. I think both men and women are of equal intelligence. They're capable of doing things equally. But we're pressed to overlook this, that in the marriage that the man is the head. And that's being overlooked in our society. But the head in a marriage does not abuse his spouse. He treats his spouse like God treated us. He loved us. He forgave us. He did things beyond our comprehension for us, men. To you who are married, you love, honor, respect, cherish your wife. She is a gift from God. He made them male and female. She's our helpmeet for us. And she has wisdom. And she has character. And she has the very things that we were created with. Do not abuse your spouse. respect her, love her, cherish her. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of the water with the word. I've mentioned this before. I'm tired of working for a living. I really am. You know why I get up every day? She's sitting right back there because I love her and I want to provide for her and give to her. And there are things, men, that we're going to have to let go. I had to let go of my motorcycle, which I love to ride, because I promised my wife I wouldn't put my life in danger anymore. And there's toys that we want as men, and we're going to have to let go of those toys. And we're going to have to mature and realize that we have a dedication to somebody to provide for that spouse and to love that spouse. But life goes on, man. We have greater riches being married. And Christ points to that. We are to give ourselves. Just as Christ had sacrificed himself for the church, so men are to sacrifice themselves for their wives. And so we need to sanctify her as Christ sanctified the church, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory and have no spot, wrinkle, or any such thing, that she would be holy and blameless. You think about it. If we abuse our wives, we attack our wives, we make them do things they don't want to do, we force them to be holy, unholy, and to be blamed for things. We need to treat our wives the way God treated us in Christ Jesus. So husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church. Mourning, when people mourn, when my wife mourns, I mourn. When she's not doing good, I'm not doing good. But I have to be strong for her, and in my times of need, she's strong for me. She lifts me up when I needed to be lifted up. I lift her up when she needs to be lifted up. That's how this works. That is the bonds of marriage, brethren. And if you're a young person and you're thinking in your mind that you want to get married one day, there's a lot of hurt. But you will grow. You will learn to be a good husband, a good wife, through that growing. But there will be times of hurt, but you will get through it. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church, because we are members of his body. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And then he goes on and he talks to children. And listen to this statement in chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents to whatever they tell you. No, it doesn't say that. It says, obey your parents in the Lord. For this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, so that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, within this spiritual realm that God has given us through Jesus Christ, all these blessings, all these powers that he's empowered us with. You obey your parents within the Lord. When they're telling you to do something outside of this realm, this spiritual realm, something that is sinful, Do not do it. You stay within the Lord. But we are to obey our parents within the Lord. And so Paul speaks to us as individuals. He speaks to us as husbands and wives. And he speaks to us as children, having parents. And he's done this for a reason. Because if we want to live lives like that, we want peaceful, holy lives, there is a battle that we must battle every day. And that battle is a spiritual battle. Turn, if you would, to chapter 6. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness. And the world is dark right now. And this world is coming after your children. And this world is coming after the marriage institution. It wants to tear it apart. And what better place to start with our children? So we have a struggle, not against flesh and blood, but against the forces of darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. And so we looked at the purpose of God in Christ in chapter 1. He's listed standards for our personal lives, our fellowship with one another, how we are to treat one another, our home life, if you would, being husbands, being wives, being children. And such a life cannot be obtained without a spiritual battle. And we're going to have to fight that battle and keep fighting that battle. And so he says in verse 13, therefore take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day and have done everything to stand firm. Stand firm therefore, having girded your loins with truth. Just heard a newscaster quote from John. It's a Mika and Joe in the morning or something concerning the overturning of Wade versus Roe, or Roe versus Wade. And he talked about that you should know the truth and the truth shall set you free. But yeah, he was for this abortion, and I thought, boy, he jumped right into them scriptures and started twisting them, didn't he? That's what we're up against, brethren. People want to make us feel bad about other people's rights. When there's evil being done, don't get confused. Evil is evil. We have to be wise in our understanding. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with the truth and having put on a breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. It is the gospel of peace that we preach to our neighbors. It is not a gospel of wrongdoing. It is the gospel of peace. We need to be peaceful with our neighbors, to live with our neighbors, to treat our neighbors as we want it to be treated, as we want to be treated. So we are to take up the gospel of peace. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, which you will be able to extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. With all prayer and petition, praying at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, being alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. Do you know what we just read? Says, take up this armor. A lot of people talk about a Roman soldier with all of his armors on. And one commentary said, Paul is in Roman imprisonment, And he sees these guards all around, so he thinks about that as his armor. You know what this armor is? This is a reflection of God. That's what this armor is. It's a reflection of God, God Almighty. And he's telling us how to deal with these evil forces each and every day. And we need to take up and put all this armor on every day, because without it, we're vulnerable and we will be taken down, because we're in a war. And you will be a casualty of war if you don't take up this armor each and every day. This is a reflection of God's power, the power that he has blessed us with. It's a power that can't be touched. It's not tangible, with what I said in the beginning. But it is a power that fights the evil forces of this world. Then it becomes tangible when we start winning battles. When we win battles with ourselves. How many times has myself gotten in my way? Too many times. And I'm fighting myself. There's bigger battles to be won. Let go of yourself. Quit battling with yourself. Fight the good battles. God tells you how to purify yourself. He tells me how to purify myself. Stop losing the battles with yourself. Christians cannot strengthen themselves. They must be empowered. God has empowered us. Satan, in Zechariah 13:2, we won't take time to read these, says unclean spirits will be removed from the land. Jim alluded to this in his class when Jesus cast out a demon. There's no more demon possession. But the devil is still here. And he's alive and he's doing well. He is bound by Jesus in Matthew. Jim alluded to this in the Gospel of Mark. He's been bound by Jesus. His domain, look in Ephesians chapter 2. Where's his domain? In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, starting verse 1, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. 1 John chapter 5, verse 18. We'll read a couple of these. We know that no one is born of God and sins. But he who is born of God keeps himself, and an evil one does not touch him. If we are born of God, if we take up these powers that has been given us, the evil one will not be able to touch us. We can fight those battles. We've been empowered with the word of God. That's how we fight the evil one. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says that the devil makes himself as to be an angel of light. We're seeing that in the news. James 4, he walks about like a roaring lion seeking who he may devour. I think I got those two mixed up. 2 Corinthians 4:4. Let's turn there real quick. I think I got that mixed up. Well, 2 Corinthians 4:4. In those cases, who start in verse 1. Therefore, since we have this ministry as we receive mercy, do not let us lose heart. But we have renounced the things hidden because of the shame, not walking in craftiness or adulterating the word of God, but by the manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving. The last verse, he disguises himself as an angel of light. I presented this a few years back. This is supposed to be the god or the idol Bohemoth. It's a pagan idol linked to a history of occultism. It now represents the satanic temple, the satanic leader Lucian Greaves, if I'm pronouncing that right. He has after-school clubs from Oregon to Georgia to send positive messages. Listen to this. They teach personal autonomy, having the right or power of self. And this personal autonomy, we're seeing it in the news now. You have a right to do whatever you want with your bodies. That's the personal autonomy that's being taught. Freedom of belief. Scientific rationalism. The act of guiding one's actions and opinions. Brethren, without the Word of God, do you know how immoral this world is, can be? We cannot decide what is moral and immoral. We need somebody that's pure and holy to give us instructions, and that's what God has done. You take the Word of God away, and everybody's going to do whatever they please. After-school Satan clubs. Lucian Greaves. We are not interested in turning kids away from their Christian background. We really want this to be enriching. We are not going to proselytize or make ham-fisted religious tirades. Our curriculum does not contain items of religious opinion. It contains fun activities premised on critical thinking, reasoning skills, and a scientific rationalist view of the world. COVID-19 was a blessing in one way. While some kids weren't in school, they were doing Zoom. And some parents got to hear what they were teaching their children in school. And I'm sure you all heard this. And they're getting taught a lot of things we didn't know they were teaching them. In fact, it was stated by President Biden that while our children are in school, they're the teacher's children. That's not the case, brother. They're your children. They're our children. They're there to be taught reading, writing, arithmetic, history. Not this rationalist, scientific rationalist view of the world. Here's some songs of this occult. Joy, joy to ourselves. Joy to ourselves. We are the source. You and I are the source. It flows from each one of us, from each of us. We won't wait on a deity to fill our hearts with gaiety. Create the sounding joy. Create the sounding joy. You create the sounding joy. What do you want to do with your body? What do you want to do with your life? They perverted this song. They've taken it and perverted it. Hark, the falling angel sings. Hark, the falling angel sings. Blessed to not be following. God has forced us to obey and throw our reasonable thoughts away. If the price of heaven's keep is consciousness, then that's not cheap. Why be bound to such great heights when earth is full of rich delights? Why be bound? You're in charge of yourself. You do whatever you want. Do you know what a mess this world would be? It's a mess right now. If everybody would adhere to this, blessings of knowledge and fruit, back to the garden. Let no one here deny. He banned you from your own backyard and left you out to die. All because your Savior thought it right to vilify my blessings of knowledge and fruit. He's talking about Satan here. That Satan gave you blessings of the knowledge, of the fruit. See, your Savior left you out to die. That's what they're teaching children in these after-school programs. Deception. 2 Thessalonians. We'll be winding down here. Where am I going? I am going the wrong way. Second Thessalonians 2, verses 7. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. Then that lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will slay with the breath of his mouth, and bring to an end by the appearance of his coming. That is, the one whose coming is in accordance with the activity of Satan, with all power and signs and false wonders, and with all deception of wickedness for those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. For this reason, God will send them a deluding influence, so that they will believe what is false. It's hard to grasp that, isn't it? Dan Bunting had a good point. You don't hit rock bottom in sin. You see, because there is no rock bottom. Because you may start drinking and be a drunkard, and then you might take that to the next step. You might be a drug addict after that. You might be an adulterer. Then you might sign yourself into prostitution. You see, it doesn't end. Dan had a great point. I appreciated that. Sin takes you deeper and deeper and deeper. There is no rock bottom until you decide, or to the people in the world decide, that they're going to quit sinning. That's when it ends. But it says God will send them a deluding, but want them to believe a lie. They get so entrenched that he will delude them in that. That's hard to grasp, isn't it? I was very careful in the photographs I picked out. This is called Drag Queen Story Day. This is happening in the public libraries. This is happening in our schools. They're having drag queens come in and read stories. And that book is a boy mouse, and it says, I'm a girl. They're taking these little children who are unable to fully grasp things that are going on in this world. The innocents, and they're starting with them. And we've got to put a stop to this. These children are going to grow up and be very wicked people. I watched in L.A. there was a Gay Pride Day parade in Los Angeles. And parents had their children there watching this parade. And one little boy didn't want to watch. And the parent kept turning the boy to force him to watch what was going on. What is going on with people? Why would you do that to your child? The things we let our children watch on television, if we do not watch our children, we give them access to a computer. If we do not watch what they do on that computer, we are inviting these types of people into their little minds. And they will pervert their minds. Small children's gender changes. If you haven't read about this, it's sickening. They're giving children medicine to take away their, I don't want to get too graphic, but it's hurting these children. A little girl like this has no idea. They get this in their head from what they hear. They hear a lot of things in school, brother. When your children are not around you, these types of people are taking full advantage of it. A child doesn't decide at the age of 5 or the age of 6, hey, I want to be a boy, or I want to be a girl. It's messed up. We're seeing gender changes in small children. And the drugs that they're giving them for it, it's hurting them bad. I won't go into details. You can read up on it. This, I guess we all seen this on news. I had texted someone here and I said, hey, did you hear? They turned it over, the Supreme Court turned it over, which I prayed to God afterwards. I was so happy this happened. This is from Channel 2's news. And it says, the local reaction for and against abortion. I forgot what country it is, down in Venezuela or somewhere. I watched the reaction when that country had legalized abortion. And the women were in the streets celebrating. Such a gift that God has given women to bear children. That is a blessing. And then they would murder them. This went in effect in 1973. Over 63 million abortions have occurred in the U.S. since Roe versus Wade decision in 1973. 63 million little children. What do you think is going to happen to these little children that grow up and are infiltrating their little minds? What do you think they're going to do? This is one we need to keep an eye on. Transhumanism. It's a hot topic. It's called the Party of Davos. They have meetings. I've listened to some of the things that they talked about in the meetings. They actually have them recorded. You can listen to the meetings. Transhumanism. The belief of theory that the human race can evolve beyond its current physical and mental limitation, especially by means of science and technology. Hey, they've done some good things, like the cochlear implants for your hearing. Oh, that's a great achievement. People that couldn't hear right can now hear. But this is being perverted. I watched her working on a chip, and I'll be as gentle as I can with this. They're working on a chip that can be installed in your mind. And so you will no longer need a partner. This chip will activate in your mind your pleasures. And so you can watch a virtual reality thing and you can have all the pleasure you want. That's what's happening with this stuff. They're taking it and they're perverting it. Keep an eye on this transhumanism. It's going off the rails. Going crazy. I'll end with two scriptures. Psalm 19. The heavens are telling of the glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the work of his hands. Day by day pours forth speech, and night tonight reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard. Their line has gone throughout the earth, and their utterance to the end of the world. In them he has placed a tent for the sun, which is a bridegroom coming out of the chamber. It rejoices as a strong man to run its course. Its rising is from one end of the heavens, and its circuit to the other end of them. And there is nothing hidden from its heat. There's a voice that goes out, and it doesn't have to say anything. We can look at the day. We can look at creation. We can look at the stars in the heavens, and they speak to us. And they say, yes, there is a creator. That's what this is telling us. God has done this. This is a work of his power so that mankind has no excuse to know that there is a God. Romans chapter 1. And it saddens me to read this. Romans chapter 1, verse 20. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through that which has been made, so that they are without excuse. For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations. and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of the birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. Therefore, God gave them over in their lust of their hearts to impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonored. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions. For their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. And in the same way, also the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire towards one another. Men with men committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God then gave them over to a depraved mind to do the things which are not proper. Being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice, they are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil. Transhumanism. We're going to see a lot more about that. They're inventors of evil. Disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. And although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they do not only do the same, but they give hearty approval to those who practice them. Drop down to verse 5 of chapter 2. But because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each person according to his deeds. To those who by perseverance and doing good seek for glory and honor and immortality, they'll receive eternal life. But to those who are selfishly ambitious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, wrath, and indignation, there will be tribulation and distress for every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also the Greek. But glory and honor and peace to everyone who does good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For there is no partiality with God. Brethren, we need to be aware of what's going on in the world, especially with our children at this point. We've been empowered with the blessings of Jesus Christ. We've been empowered with His Word. We have the gospel of peace. Let's take that out to these people who God says are evil, who are adulterers. And let's take that peaceful gospel to them and convert them. And let's live lives that the world can see and we can be examples to them. We have a song of invitation. You're all invited. If anyone hasn't obeyed the gospel, you can obey that today. If you have sin in your life and you want the prayers of the saints, we can do that also. Won't you come as we stand and sing the song of invitation?